God is so very good to us. Join me with our scriptural affirmation today from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. I'll read the first and then you can follow along. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies,
fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord of one mind.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name.
That the name Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth.
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence,
work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God.
Without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Oh, Father, I'm so glad for the lights that you are shining here in this place this day. We're so excited that you are and that you're a rewarder of them who diligently seek you. We right now, Lord, surrender ourselves to you. We right now, Lord, ask that you would have your way. We right now, Lord, ask that the joy of the Lord would shine through our lives, that the peace of God would be, we would rest in that. Lord, we need you. We expect you. We want you. Today, have your way in this place. Help us to truly worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Because it reminds me of where we are. You know, as you work through this life, as you walk and you see life and everything, as a Christian, you have this opportunity to see it in a different way than others. You really, really do. You got the always joy of anticipation. This joy of anticipating the fact that it just gets better. Even though you're in the midst of everything, it's like being at a park, you know, a theme park. When I used to go to Idora Park, I used to love to go to Idora Park. It was I felt it was one of the few places that was my first big trip. So I could take a bus across town, and I'd go to Idora Park, and there I'd be, and it was just an amazing kind of thing where there were all of these wonderful rides. There was the Wildcat, which I didn't always go on because I was scared, and there was the rabbit, and there were just all of this wonderful fair food. But like any good place, any good thing, there were lines. You know, It's lines, and you're standing there, and you're in the heat, and it's annoying, and you know you don't have but so much money left and so much time left before you've got to go, and there you are waiting, but you know you never really seemed to mind the wait because there was the anticipation of what was going to happen. There was the anticipation of where you were going to be. There was the anticipation of the ride that you would take. I can remember you would get on the ride and they would go around and then it would go up and it would chick, 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 chick. And as the farther it went, the louder it went, so it was clack. Crack! Like it's not gonna make it, the whole thing's gonna fall apart, and you get to the top. And then it's whoosh! And what a ride it was. See, even the anticipation was a good thing. And we ought to be experiencing the joy of the anticipation of eternity with Jesus. The anticipation of eternity, of being with our Lord, so that we can go around with a silly smirk on our face because we're looking around with people that are around with us and they're all going for that same experience, that same special time together that is time no more because it's eternity and it's always going to be. And even though I'm in the midst of the heat and even though I'm in the midst of all of the stuff that's going on around me, I know that there's something better going on so I can enjoy even this moment. Are you enjoying this moment? Have you really been able to testify, I have the joy of the Lord? Because when you have the joy of the Lord, you know you've got His strength. When you have the joy of the Lord, you know you can continue to exist. When you have the joy of the Lord, you can keep on going. Because pretty soon you're going to hear that sound. Pretty soon you're going to hear that sound that's inimitable. Pretty soon you're going to hear the shout as of an archangel, and you'll be with Jesus whooshing through eternity. What a time that's going to be. In Philippians, the author wanted you, he wanted the people that he was writing to understand what time it was, to enjoy the moment. He said, if there be for any consolation in Christ, if there's anything good in knowing Him, if there's anything special about knowing Him, if there's any comfort of love, if you have experienced His love, if you've confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart Jesus is Lord, and you actually have experienced that love, that rich and warm and definite love, if you experienced that love and then had a love that's come over you for others, had a love that's come over for you, that you now know you have brothers and sisters in Christ that are closer than your earthly blood brothers and sisters in Christ. If you had that kind of love, if you have any fellowship of the Spirit, you know the Spirit of the living God is moving in you, and you have that, you know that others have that, and together, because you have that, you can have wondrous and mystical, magical, spiritual things that you see and do that are just so real. If you have that fellowship of the Spirit, that fellowship that allows you to lock arms and lock hearts and keep on stepping toward the goal of the ride of eternity. If you have any bowels and mercies, if there's something deep inside of you that makes you have compassion and makes you understand that you have experienced compassion. You know, it's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. His blessings are new every morning. We've awakened today. Some of my friends did not. What about you? We're alive. And in spite of the challenges that face us, in spite of the hurts and the pains that we have experienced, the reality is that God loves us and we know it. Now, if you know all of that, I don't know how you can stop having a silly grin on your face, you know. But if you know all of that, if you are aware of all that, I'm asking you to fulfill my joy. I want you to make, do something for me, would you? Fulfill my joy. Make me happy. Allow me to know that you are being like-minded. Now we're not talking about uniformity so that we all walk in lockstep. I don't mean that, but that we all have this in common, that we know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when we know that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we are going to love our Father in heaven with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul. And we are going to love our neighbors as ourselves. Would you fulfill my joy and be those that love each other? Do you love each other? Are you operating in a way that demonstrates you love each other? Do you care for each other? We need to do the each others of Scripture. We need to do the one another's of Scripture. We need to love each other. It is important, it is reality that we would surrender ourselves to Him and be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. Everybody saying, yes, we have a goal. We have a goal. We're of one mind. We're thinking the same way. Not thinking the same thing, but thinking the same way. How can I today glorify God? If you come in this room saying, how can I glorify Him today? Maybe I'll just raise my hands. Maybe I'll shout to Him. Maybe I'll kneel to Him. I don't know. I want to glorify God. Maybe I'll help the helpless. Maybe I'll love the loveless. Maybe I'll care for those who have not been cared for in a way that they needed to be cared for, to make them feel fully human, to make them feel fully a part of the body of Christ. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but Lord, we should all be ones that are like-minded on trying to figure out how to love you in such a way that you have been brought glory, glory to your name, glory because you deserve it, glory because there's none other like you, glory because you are and you're a rewarder of them who diligently seek you, glory, glory to your name, glory to your name, it's you're worthy. You're worthy. Oh, it's amazing. We were at Nelson's Ledges last night. It was a fascinating experience. Fascinating experience. It was like a flashback for me. Oh, maybe I shouldn't tell you that. But you know, it was like a Woodstock kind of experience. You know, you're out there in nature, and there's lots of trailers and things like that, and there's a stage where these group of guys are playing and everything, and there are interesting smells wafting through the air. Yes. But I didn't pursue. I didn't pursue. Nope. I'm past that, I think. Anyway, so it was fascinating. And one of the things that happened at points during the thing, someone would set off a firework, you know, like some like M80s maybe, you know, they were just really, really, and they were always surprising. But that never stopped my joy. That never bothered me. Big, loud noises. They don't match to my King. It's okay. It's okay. We can surrender ourselves so much to Him that nothing can get us off our game. Nothing can cause us to step out of line because we're going on the ride. We are with the King of Kings, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing that we do, nothing that you do, nothing that I do, nothing that the group does, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. We're not here to fight with each other, nor are we here to hold on to our pride. Some of us can think highly of ourselves. You know, drive up to the gate last night, and they want to open my trunk. Like, do you know who I am? Yes, sir. A person who's going to open his trunk if he wants to get in. You know, it's like, oh, maybe I should act like I'm a Christian and be cooperative. Maybe I shouldn't want to grasp onto my so-called rights and hold on. Maybe I should let go because I have a greater purpose in what I'm about to do. I have a greater purpose about where I'm going to go. And I won't let anything keep me from that. So no strife. I'm not going to argue, nor will I let my pride about who I think I am, who I think I might be, keep me from what God would have me to do. But in lowliness of mind, really recognizing who I am in a whole different way. Because I'm one of them humans. And Scripture tells me about them humans. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I can never say that I've gotten it all right. I can never say that I was perfect. I can never say I deserved the goodness of God. God has poured out so much goodness on my life, given me so many things, but I can never say that He did it because I was so good. He did it because I was so righteous in and of myself. He did it because of any of those things. It wasn't of me. I didn't generate it. I couldn't do it. It wasn't because of me. It's the Lord's righteousness, if there's any righteousness at all. So my righteousness is a filthy rag. My goodness is nothing. My goodness is not enough. So I realize that, and I look around and I see people that I know. Oh, They're so wonderful. They do whatever they do so well, and I don't always do that well. They think clearly about Scripture, and they understand some things that I don't even get yet. And they're strengthening themselves in the Word. Oh, my goodness. God has made wonderful people. And He stuck me down in the midst of them. What a good God He is. What a good God He is that He's given me someone who loves me and cares for me and friends that I can do things with and just the amazing accomplishments of others. I need to, in lowliness of mind, esteem each other better than myself. I'm not the carpenter that Doug is or the evangelist that others are. I'm not the musician that Luke is. I'm not the handy person that Bob is. I'm not all that. But by the grace of God, I am who I am. So in lowliest mind, I esteem others better than ourselves. And it looked not every man on his own things. Don't spend your time trying to get your stuff. So many of us spend all of our energy trying to be satisfied. Some of us spend all of our energy trying to get what we need, what we want, and God forbid, what we think we deserve. I'm telling you, you don't want what you deserve. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Are you helping others achieve their goals? Are you helping others achieve their needs? Are you strengthening others? Are you helping others? Are you blessing others? We need to be about the business of blessing each other. We have been blessed, but we've been blessed to be a blessing. Some of us like to stop and think, I'm blessed. Well, that's good. What you doing with it? How are you blessing others? How are you honing that skill or that gift or that thing so that others can experience the goodness and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You have been blessed to be a blessing. Listen, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, think the way that Christ thinks. Think this way, who being in the form of God, and when we're saying a form of God, it's not the shape of God or anything like that, but He was God Himself, there, one with the Father in heaven throughout all eternity. There He is. He, knowing who He was, didn't think it robbery to be equal with God because He was God. He didn't stress over that. But He made Himself of no reputation. He allowed Himself to be... This is a concept sometimes that is difficult to explain, difficult to pass along. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. He didn't pour out who He was, but He made Himself like a servant. Here He was, And he said, well, I will be just like a man, but not just any man. I'm going to be just like a man who is a servant. I've not lost anything about who I was. I'm still Jesus. I'm still the one that is one with the Father. I'm still him, but I won't take advantage of any of those things that I have and have the ability to take advantage of, but I will behave just like a servant. You need to understand that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. That's what the scripture says. Do you serve? Even though you have great capacity, even though you have great intelligence, even though you might, in a worldly sense, be deserving of great things, do you serve like Jesus served? Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He was like in the habit of men. He became like a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. You see, it would take some great humbling for him to do what was done. It would take some great humbling because he became obedient to death. See, he knew that the suffering servant that we see portrayed in Isaiah would have to die. He knew that the one that was spoke about in Psalm 22 would die. He knew that this would be a painful death. He knew it would be a humiliating death. Imagine you're Jesus. And there you are, and you've been beaten so badly that people can hardly recognize that you're human. You're just a bleeding pulp, a mess. And you who is able to call legions of angels to defend you, allow yourself to be nailed to the cross by a bunch of pompous jerks. You allow yourself to be nailed there. You are hoisted up naked for the whole world to see. And the world doesn't know what it's doing, because they put a sign over your head. He said he was the king of the Jews. And that truth, king of the Jews, could have been king of everyone. That truth, when you know that truth is real, could you humble yourself to death? I'm the king. I'm the king. This ain't happening. I've got control over everything. I speak and the rain and the wind stop. I speak and the lame walk. I speak and those who are broken are healed. I speak and those that have skin diseases are clean. I speak and the death come to life. I could stop this. But the challenge with me stopping it is that if I stop it now, then there will be no chance for you to join me. There will be no chance for you to be saved. There will be no chance for this foolish one who's about to spear me to live throughout eternity. It's only if I pay for your sin. Only if I pay for your sin. Your sin must be paid for the wrath of God to be appeased. So even though it's true I am the king, I humble myself. Do you humble yourself? He humbled himself. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. He's greater than everyone. That at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess, that's agree, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. He never forgot his purpose. He was going to glorify his Father all along. And we should never forget our purpose, that the glory of God would be spread across the earth, that we would be changed, we would be made different, we would be lights that shine, and we would walk in the power of the Spirit of the living God, and that we would allow that Spirit to lead us across the whole face of the earth so that everyone might see that my Father in heaven is Lord. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, my friends, as you have always obeyed, as you have obeyed to the point that you now know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as you have been changed, as you have been made different, as you have always obeyed, not just when I'm looking at you, but in the dark, in your own place. But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now you say, how could we have joy if I'm doing things in fear and trembling? It's joyous when you're doing it right. It's an amazing thing. It's not some pain. It's not some ungodly sacrifice that's not joyful. When you respect God, when you live a life that demonstrates you believe who God is, when you live a life that demonstrates you are having faith, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you live a life that is full of faith, faith, a faith that has been given to you. It's by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. When you have that faith, you can experience the goodness of God. You can experience His goodness. You can experience His self-control. You can experience His ability to persevere under tough circumstances. You can experience His faithfulness. And you can see amazing and wondrous things. You can see the Word of God come to life before you when you experience His peace. It'll blow your mind and it'll pass all understanding. How could I be here and experiencing this? It's because of God, because I've been given faith, and that faith reminds me that I have the love of the Father. I have the very love of the Father that cares for me, that loves me. And it's spread abroad in our hearts so that His loving embrace helps me to dry my tears and keeps me. Oh, God is so very, very good to me, and He allows me to experience faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So isn't it good that He initiates and He gives us faith that we could not possibly deserve? Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Dive in and don't come up until you're saturated. Dive in. Drown yourself in the faith of God. For it is God which works in you both to will, to help you to want it, and to do, to help you to accomplish it, His good pleasure. Now, will you please do that without murmuring or disputing? It's like, I'm going to have a good time today. Doggone it. Oh, what is this? We are here to experience the living God. And He wants you to do that with joy. A joy that you can choose as you choose Him. Why? That you might be blameless. Nobody can accuse you. Anything that they say about you, just go right off your back, because the reality is that you're not going to accept that, because you know that you know that you know you have been changed. Blameless and harmless. You're safe. The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Listen, we know the world is a mess. It is. You don't look any further in your own family. It's a mess. But guess what? You can shine as lights in the midst of that. You can shine brightly in the midst of all of that, and have joy doing it, because you have the joy of the Lord. Today, why don't you bow your head with me and recognize that you can have the joy of the Lord working in your life, first you need to know him. And then as you know him, you need to walk in his truth. Walk in the way that he would have you to walk. You can do that today. Listen, if you're a Christian and you say, I haven't been experiencing joy. Frankly, I haven't been very obedient. Today, you can clean that up right now. If you confess your sin, you agree with God about what it is that you are doing, not confess the sin of somebody else, but if you confess your sin, your part in this process, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin. Amen. And cleanse you. Cleanse you. My wife is lovingly irons my shirts. And I can't tell you, this is weird, I know. I can't tell you how good it feels to put on a nice clean shirt that's just been ironed. It's just something about it. It just feels good. I think of that when I think that he wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We want to have that feeling of that thing that you like to put on that makes you feel more of who you are or who you want to be. There's something so special about it. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's just staying in line with his word. God, who set aside all of his dignity and allowed Jesus to die for you. Today, he's saying, surrender. 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 Please. Hostilities can be over. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Today we surrender ourselves to you and ask that you would have your way in our lives so that we might revel in the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Altar is open to you if you choose to come today. God wants to do a work in your life.